Bless your hearts. Good morning. Let's take our Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 2. I thought we'd just kind of read through some things. And I wanted to share with you that the way God set up Christianity, it is a real participation thing. He sets things for us, tells us truths, and encourages us to act upon them. And I thought it'd be great to look at some of the things, especially concerning wisdom, because you have the wisdom of the world and you have the wisdom of God. And sometimes we get caught up with the things that are happening in the world and ideas and various things that are set out through the world. And sometimes they look very good, they look very wonderful, but God's word helps us so that we can discern between that which is good and that which is evil, so that we might move forward with great enthusiasm for life. So here in Proverbs chapter 2, we'll go ahead and we'll take turns reading some of the verses, and I'll share some things that I was looking at this morning as I was reading it. So, Michelle, why don't you start with verse 1. We'll read a verse at a time and go through some of these things.
My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee.
Okay. The word receive is really, in the Hebrew, is to enfold. In other words, to take it into yourself and embrace it, to take it up and to utilize it, use his words. The word hide, if you're going to hide it, hide my commandments with thee, the word hide really means to esteem, in the sense like you have a piece of jewelry. When you take the piece of jewelry off, you put it, you know, maybe in a jewelry box or something like that. You sort of keep it out of sight to protect it because it's of great value to you and you want to know exactly where it is when you would like to use it. Yet you're confident and you're bold enough to put it on yourself and wear it outwardly. You don't tuck it under your shirt or you know, take your ring and put a glove over your hand so nobody sees the ring that you have or anything, because they, a lot of things that you have in, I think in jewelry, for example, you have your wedding ring, perhaps, and you want people to see it because it has a great significance to you. It reminds you of things. Sometimes you just look at it and you maybe think about your spouse or something like that. We wear it. We want people to see it. And yet, when we take it off, we want to be careful where it is, and we sort of hide it away. And that's how the truth is, because you don't want the truth of God's word to be misplaced among the other things of life. You want to be able to go right to the truth that you have taken the time to enfold into your heart, and yet at times you want to walk out decorated with it and really let it show because it's such a beautiful thing. So that's how it is in the idea of hiding it, hiding my commandments with thee. In the sense of jewelry, at times you wear it outwardly, and yet you're still very careful with it to protect it so you don't lose it and you always have it available to you. Okay, Jerry?
So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding.
Beautiful. Incline thine ear means to listen well. And you want to listen well so that you can get wisdom. And here the word wisdom in the Hebrew means a right application of knowledge for understanding. And you want to apply it. Incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. The word apply means to exercise yourself or to exercise it in a variety of different ways. In other words, you want to get to the place where the truth that you have taken into your heart, the wisdom of God that you have, that you apply it in a variety of ways. You become skillful and adept at applying the word in life. It's where you're no longer struggling. What's that verse? What's the principle here? You have it, and you become skillful with it. So that you have understanding, which that word understanding in the Hebrew is to become skillful in its use. All right, Connie?
Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding.
Right. You cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. In other words, God, teach me. Show it to me. You know, you cry out, God, and it, you don't have to necessarily be verbally saying it, but in your heart, you're crying out for his knowledge. You're crying out for wisdom. You're crying out to become skillful. I think of, let's put a ribbon here. I want to look at a couple of places. Let's look at the 119th Psalm. The 119th Psalm, and in verse 66, here was David's heart. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Isn't that beautiful? Because he had the responsibility, of course, of his family. He had the responsibility of the nation. He had the responsibility even with other nations and things. And he wanted to be right with it. So teach me good judgments. Teach me how to discern the different things. Sometimes I think I've come up with some great ideas, and then when I put it into application, I wind up hurting somebody else. You know, or someone gets offended, and it wasn't my intention. And although I had some knowledge, and although I had good intentions, I want God to show me so that I can cut through all of it and just bring the blessing to people, his heart, his love. So teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. And then in other areas of life, we get into different situations that we need to know. And let's go to the 144th Psalm. Here's another one. And this is God's will and desire for you. And it's also my will and desire for you. And I trust that it will be your will and desire for yourself. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which or who teaches my hand to war and my fingers to fight. David wanted to be able to protect himself, number one, and also any troops that were with him, and to protect the children of Israel. He wanted instruction how to take care of the enemy, how to fight against his enemies. And you and I, with the gift of Holy Spirit, and especially in the category of discerning of spirits and casting out of demons and handling situations of that nature, we want to learn how to exercise the authority Jesus Christ has given to us over all the power of our enemies. I give you power or authority over all the power of your enemies, so that we can be wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. And that we're not afraid of the spirit realm, and we realize that they are the source of all the problems and situations in the world. They are the source of people's hatred. They are the source of people's hurts. They are the source of people's afflictions. They are the source of all of the troubles that have troubled the world, and all these different things. I want to know, teach my hands to war that I might fight. Teach my fingers to fight, figuratively.
Yeah.
You know, you can think of your hands as actively doing something. And your hands to war and your fingers to fight, you know, to be that specific, you know, how we point things out with our fingers, to be that specific so that we are helping people and we have true compassion for people because we know how deceptive our enemy is. And yet we know how hurtful he is and how torturous he is to people. And we want to be able to know, how, Lord, do I fight against this enemy? How, Lord, do I exercise the authority that Jesus Christ gave to me so that people can enjoy your, God, your prosperity, Father, your love, Father, your kindness, Father, your graciousness, health, wealth, prosperity, and goodness, that they might be able to enjoy all of those things. Teach me, help me to know, and show me, and instruct me. And certainly God has set ministries in the body to help us in those categories specifically, but God also teaches us individually in ways that we can understand, and we ought to expect that. He will do that for us. Let us have a hearing ear. Let's incline our ears to him, and let's seek after it. Really beautiful. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. You know, give me understanding. Lift up your voice and for understanding, because I cry after you. God, teach me this. If you or thou seeks her as silver and searches for her as hid treasure. Beautiful. We ought to do that. Seek after it. Seek after it like that. Search for it. Okay, Michelle, read verse 5, please.
All right. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
Yeah, beautiful. This word understand, then shalt thou understand. This word understand is more in the category of discerning. Or like I like to call it, God's butcher shop. He knows how to separate the steak from the bologna. Because there's so much, we are inundated with information daily. And it's information that is obviously appealing to us. We go on websites to read the news because the news and things are appealing to us. Maybe we support this situation or we support that situation. And yet in those situations, there's a lot of darkness. Mm-hmm. In those situations, there are a lot of traps. There are things that will steal our heart and steal the truth from our lives. Yet, that doesn't make the issue wrong, but the approaches are not always godly. And we want to be able to discern it. And because we know the truth, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you
free.
So we don't get caught in the issue, but we can have truth in order to discern and where to walk, where to go, how to lead this thing, how to take care of this thing, or at the very least, lead my own heart to the Word and to God and be able to separate those things. Beautiful. Jerry?
For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding.
Yep, there it is. This word knowledge is even a different word. There's so many, you know, so many words that are translated knowledge, but this knowledge is not so much that you have this know the in and outs of everything, but at least you see it. You know, there's been situations I'm sure you've come up with where you just knew something was not right. You recognized something. You couldn't put your finger on it. You couldn't actually say, this is it. But you knew there was something that wasn't right. There's something that just didn't fit for you. And that's another part of the knowledge that we get. Or excuse me, understanding. I'm giving you the wrong word. The word for understanding in this is you don't know the ins and outs, but you know there's something that is not quite kosher there. I apologize for the mistake. It's the word understanding. There's a lot of words for knowledge, a lot of words for understanding, and there's different usages for it. So, okay. Connie?
He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly.
He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. There's a lot of crooked ways. There are a lot of crooked paths in life. And they are not necessarily wrong. But he helps to keep our feet. And he helps us to walk uprightly in these paths and in paths of judgment so that we don't get off the beaten track, so to speak, and wind up in the wilderness. But not all paths are straight. Remember Psalm 22? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters and all these different things. And then it goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, that's where the path goes by there. He didn't take him into death, but it goes by there. And yet, even in that valley, wasn't he protected?
Mm-hmm.
Even in that valley, wasn't he safe?
Yeah.
Though all the darkness that was around him, the death, the shadow of death that was there, that perhaps even overshadowed the path. You know, sometimes you're going down a path and the sun is shining and it's beautiful, and then you get to a section where there's trees and the shadow of the trees are laying over it. The tree hasn't fallen, but the shadow is there. But if you're going to get to your destination, you're going to still have to walk down that path, right? Yet, that's how safe and that is how sound and that is how wonderful God's wisdom is to us, and how it was for David, because there were some situations that were very close calls. He could have lost his life. And yet he could walk uprightly. He could walk with the confidence because he knew God was there and God was directing his steps all down this path. And he will do that for you and he will do that for me. So you'll hear a lot of things in the world. Perhaps there are things that might make you fearful for yourself or your children or whatever is going on. Lots of talk of war, lots of talk of dissatisfaction, lot of talks of danger. But we can be assured that he keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. And we can have the wisdom and we can instruct our families, we can instruct our children how to walk. Okay. And Michelle?
Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path.
There you go. Just so beautifully and so wonderfully. All right, Jerry?
When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul.
That's the key. Wisdom entereth into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. I sometimes say, you know, the word is the truth, and we may not like it, but it's still the truth. Well, I don't really, that's a wrong way to say it, and it's a figure of speech for me, but I shouldn't say that, because it should become pleasant to our soul. Every time we hear the word, it should be pleasant to our soul, because it tells us where to walk, it tells us where the path of light is, and how to continue on it, so we can walk uprightly. Okay.
Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee.
There it is. But it's all based on if you're going to receive his words, if you're going to hide his commandments with thee, if you're going to incline your ear to his wisdom, if you're going to apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek for it as silver, if you seek for it as a treasure, then it's a participation. But he tells us, these are the things you want, and this is how you will get it. Seek after it, and I will show it to you. You know, receive the word. Hide it. Hide my commandments. Incline your ear. Apply your heart. Cry after knowledge. Lift up your voice. Seek it as silver. Search for it as treasure. And you will get it. You will have it, and it'll be there. And when it enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, when you get to that place, and that's what it will do for your heart, that's what it will do for your soul, then you're going to understand righteousness. You're going to have judgment. You're going to have equity. You're going to know how to do things evenly and rightly. And discretion is going to be the thing that preserves you, and understanding is going to keep you. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, you could strike man, because it's the evil spirit realm. Ultimately, the source is where it's coming from. Are there evil men? Yes. Do men do evil? Yes. But it all originates from the same source, the spirit, evil spirit realm. From the man that speaketh froward things. Okay, Michelle.
Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness.
There it is. That's what they do. They leave the path. And whether it's a deception, which it usually is, or it's your own passion for something that is ill-placed, takes you right away, and you wind up. You leave the path of uprightness. You leave it and walk in the ways of darkness. And there is nothing so blinding as darkness. Okay, Jerry.
Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked.
And you could see it. I mean, honestly, you know, whether you read the newspaper or you go on some website, there is such a venomous attack against people for whatever stripe, whatever you are. You know, it's an evil and a venomous thing, and they delight to do it. They love gotcha. Gotcha. And their motivation is wrong. They delight in the frowardness of the wicked. They love hearing wicked stories. Something. But that's the way the adversary works, and that's what happens to people. And instead of being advocates for God and advocates for truth, advocates of love and advocates of light, they become froward. And they delight in the wickedness. Boy, he really gave it to him there. He really cut her down to size. Well, then how are you going to build her back up? What's your idea on building the person back up? You cut him down to size, okay. Connie?
Whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths.
To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. One of the great things about Proverbs, it talks about the different wisdoms. The wisdom of God, which is the virtuous woman, is actually the virtues of the Word of God and the wisdom of God. The strange woman is the wisdom of the world. It's a separation there. And if you can look at it in that part, because sometimes you get to, you get to the virtuous woman and you sit there and you say, oh, I'd love to have a woman like that, you know. and nobody seems to want to marry me at this point. So it's not really talking particularly about a woman, but it's used in that because if you go from Ecclesiastes, which is the preacher, Song of Solomon, and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, they kind of like are a box set, so to speak. The three of them work together, and they're like a package. Because the great thing that the preacher needs, whether you're a man or a woman, is a helpmeet, and the helpmeet is the wisdom of God. The most virtuous you could have would be the wisdom of God. That's what it's telling him. When he becomes, you know, because in a marriage you're supposed to become one with your spouse. Mm-hmm. Well, we're to become one with the Word. Remember, we're to embrace it. We're to hold it and rely on it. Get discernment from it. You know, in a marriage situation, you get encouragement from your spouse. You get counsel from your spouse at times. And if it is the wisdom of God, that's the virtuous woman. That's how those books are set up to lead us to it. Okay.
Verse 17.
Right. I left off, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God.
Mm-hmm. Jerry?
For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead.
Yeah, it's not talking about a woman. It's talking about the wisdom of the world. That is what will happen. And that's why we want to increase our knowledge of the wisdom of God. And we want to be skillful at its use. We want to be able to wear it. We also want to be able to protect it so that we don't lose it and enjoy the beauty of life and our souls to enjoy it and our hearts to receive it. Okay.
None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life.
Yeah. That's what happens to it. You get caught up in the wisdom of the world if you allow yourself, and you don't return again. And you don't take hold of the paths of life. You know, so if in this life you haven't taken hold of the path of life, you're really just dead man walking. Zombies, or something. What they're after, but that thou mayest walk in the way of good men or women and keep the paths of righteousness, to keep them, to reserve them, to preserve them so that they can be continued on in your family, with your friends, with your people you become acquainted with, and so forth. That the word that we know, for instance, what we teach in Beloved of God regarding the love of God and how we really are endeavoring to help people see there is no darkness whatsoever in God. And all of our dealings and all of our relationships with God should be on such a wonderful, positive graciousness that we shouldn't have any fear that when we pray, did I ask for something I shouldn't have? Or is God withholding that from me? All these things that got woven into the way we think, because does God withhold good?
No.
No. Every good and perfect gift descended from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every dealing that we have with God, we should be absolutely assured that it is going to prosper. It is going to work well. That's why I think of prayer for the sick. Don't allow your mind to think, gosh, he's probably not believing. And he's not going to receive, and then that's going to ruin the ministry, and that's going to get people to stop believing that God healed. No. You get rid of that wrong thinking. Let's get the wisdom of God. Let's seek the light of God. Let's seek his discernment. Let's seek his truth. Let's seek his graciousness. Let's seek his equity. Because our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And God looks where?
On the heart.
Can he change someone's heart? Mm-hmm. So if they had unbelief, that shouldn't be an issue. Because God can go beyond their unbelief and help them. Let's get to the place, I'm going to pray for so-and-so and expect and know that they are going to get well. Because whose word says, by his stripes ye were healed? Whose word?
God's word.
Okay. The words, God's word, never return
void.
Does that answer the question for you? Let's believe and trust this word of God. It is so rich. It is so abundant. It is so filled with graciousness. Okay, where am I here? 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Beautiful. And Michelle, would you finish the last verse here?
But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it.
Beautiful. And that's the side whereon, the side that's going to root them out. The side, we're on the side that's going to remain in the land, and it's just going to get better and better. So just want to encourage you on this word, participate in it. Let it be the participation of your heart. Let it be the participation of your life, because it is so rich and it is so fruitful, and we should enjoy great abundance. God bless you.